Right. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We're grateful for you. And God, right now, we ask that you would just speak powerfully into our hearts, into our lives. Do your thing in a way that only you can. Make it so that when we walk out of this room, we walk out differently than the way that we walked in. You have a desire to speak to us. We have a desire to be spoken to. So do your thing. We give you all the praise, all the glory for what it is that's going to happen today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys can have a seat. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome. Welcome to Freedom. Welcome to the 11:15. And it's going to be a great day. Already has. I was, let me start this way. Have you ever been to a wedding or a party or something like that? I don't mean like as a guest. I mean, you were like one of the ones throwing the party. You were trying to make sure that everything is good to go, that everything is where it's supposed to be. You have the food, you have the drinks, you have all the things. Or maybe you're serving at a wedding, something like that. And I don't know if you've ever seen this happen before, but almost every time there's a wedding or a big party, there's something that's going to go wrong. And your goal is for no one to know that anything went wrong, right? Like you can be scrambling behind the scenes trying to make sure everything is good for the guest. You're scrambling behind the scenes trying to fix something that broke, trying to do something just to make sure that word doesn't spread. When Devin and I got married, we didn't know this. It was like unbeknownst to us, but apparently they were starting to run out of food because we didn't know how many people were coming to our wedding. And at the reception, we had 750 people there. And so as a result, we're up there like, you know, weddings were way different than they are now. Now it's like this big, ginormous party. Back then it was like, you go, you get married, you eat some food, you do a dance, and then you leave because the party's happening later. Like it wasn't, the wedding was one thing, right? Now it's like this whole big ordeal. And so we're sitting there and we're having these people come by and they're like, hey, congratulations, blah, 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 blah. And every other person, I'm like, Devin, who was that? Who was that person? I've never seen them before in my life. Well, come to find out the next day, I guess we had kind of received word that they were scrambling behind the scenes. People were running to the store, like sprinting into Kroger, trying to make sure that we had enough food to make sure that we could feed all 750 people. But we didn't know. Bride didn't know. Groom didn't know, so I don't care if I knew. I'd have been like, they can eat later. It's no big deal. They don't have to eat at my wedding. But it's interesting because the only people that knew that anything interesting had taken place were the people that were serving behind the scenes. And in our story today, John chapter 2, the account of the Bible that I want to read to you, it's a very similar scenario. John chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Here's what it says. On the third day, there was a wedding that took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, that's Mary, and Jesus was there, and his disciples were there because they had all also been invited to the wedding. It says, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Now, back then, it's like a wedding was a big deal. It was a lot of people. It took forever. It would stretch out over a long span of time because people had nothing else to do. I mean, you're not going to go home and watch TV. There was no sports for you to watch, nothing like that. It's like you can hang out with the goats and the cows and watch the paint dry at the house, or you can go to the party where the food is free and the drinks are free. So everybody would go to the wedding. It's like if there was a wedding in Acworth, like all of Acworth would be there. It was that big of a deal. And everything was going great until it wasn't. And all of a sudden, Mary, Jesus's mom, she comes walking up because I guess she must have known the person who was throwing this wedding. It must have been pretty important to her because she comes to Jesus and she's like, hey, we got a problem. And the problem is they've run out of wine. Now, to you and I, that might not sound like that big of a deal. Others of you, when I said that, you said, speak for yourself. If you run out of wine at the wedding, that is a big deal. But to them, it was significant. And the reason it was is because it would have been like dishonoring. It would have been dishonoring of the guests to run out of wine. It also would have been embarrassing to the host of the wedding if you ran out of wine, because that meant that you didn't prepare very well. And it says in verse 5, his mother, Mary, said to the servants, the disciples, they were there helping. They were like the waiters that day. His mother said to the servants, do whatever it is that he tells you. Whatever he says to do, you do it. Don't ask for an explanation. Don't say that's not gonna work. If Jesus tells you to do it, do it. Like, that's what it is that his mom said to him. It's still good advice today. She says, whatever Jesus tells you to do, that's what it is that you need to do. It goes to verse 6. It says, nearby, so off in the corner probably, stood 6 stone water jars, the kind that were used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. I'll explain that in a second. Each of those jars, so there's 6 of them, each of those jars would hold between 20 and 30 gallons. That's a lot. That's a big jar. I don't know exactly how big of a jar that would be, but I know that I have a big truck and it takes 21 gallons. So as a result, these jars could hold more than my truck could hold. 30 gallons is a pretty good bit of water. And it says that his mom had told him, just do whatever it is he tells you. Jesus looks over to the right or to the left. He sees these jars, and it says in verse 7, Jesus said to the servants, what I want you to do is fill these jars with water. Fill them up with water. It says, so they filled them to the brim. Why'd they fill them all the way to the very top? I think the reason they filled them all the way to the very top is because miracles rarely follow partial obedience. Jesus said, I want you to fill these jars. So that's exactly what it is that they did. They filled it all the way to the top. Now, let me explain these jars to you for just a second. They weren't just random jars that were just sitting over here to the side. It was actually a pretty important thing. Jewish people back in the day, remember, they were following a religious system, still are. They were following a religious system. There was a lot of ceremony. There was a lot of like figurative, symbolic things that they would do in order to try to prove themselves to God. So these ceremonial jars, what would happen is when you would go on a long journey or when you would go from your house to wherever the wedding venue was, remember, you're not jumping in a car, right? You're getting on the back of an animal or you're walking on a dusty street. It's hot as can be in Israel. That's why if you ever go to Israel with me, we always go in January because it's not hot in January. And I'm not going to Israel when it's hot because I get to pick when I go. And I don't want to be hot because 115 is hot. And people say, well, it's a dry heat. So is the oven, but I don't hang out in there, right? So nonetheless, when this would happen, people would get there, they would arrive at the venue, they're like, they're all sweaty and gross and as dusty as can be because people are like kicking up dust and dirt and everything else. And so they would come in and they would have these jars, clean water, they would get a ladle and then they would clean their hands. And a lot of times somebody would also wash their feet, not just as some way to be nice, but because if they didn't, they were gonna track dirt everywhere it is that they would go on the inside of either the facility or on the inside of the house. So what these jars would represent was to them, not just being clean physically, but they would do it symbolically. They would wash their hands as a sign that they were clean before God on the inside, that everything was good with them and God. There was a way to clean up the exterior to show that the interior was okay. So in a lot of ways, these jars represented effort. It represented religion. I'll bring this full circle in just a little bit before this message is over. But it was showing that in their effort, they were trying to fix and clean themselves. So don't miss this because we're going to get there in a second. But Jesus chose these jars on purpose. And he says to them, I read it to you before, fill the jars with water. They filled them to the brim. Then he told them this in verse 8. Now, draw some out, some what? Draw some water out of those jars that you just filled up with water. Take it to the master of the banquet. The master of the banquet was like the wedding planner, the one who was in charge of making sure that everything flows smoothly, right? Like the reason you get a wedding planner is so that the mother of the bride doesn't have to plan everything and make sure that everything's good. She needs to be able to just enjoy the day. So you get a wedding planner to handle all the details. That's the master of the banquet in this context. So draw some out, take it to the master of the banquet. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants, that's the disciples, the people who were acting as the waiters that particular day, though they who had drawn the water, they knew. In other words, When that wedding planner tasted what came out of those jars, he didn't taste water. What he tasted was wine. Somewhere between the pouring of water into the jars and the drinking of water from those jars, a miracle took place. I don't know where the miracle happened, but it happened somewhere along the way. And isn't that the way that life works, by the way? That when God tells you to do something, when you start taking your first step of obedience, it's not often that first step where you begin to see the miracle happen, but somewhere along the way, God begins to do his thing and orchestrate events in such a way that lives can be changed and things can begin to come together. I don't know where it happens, when it happens. I wish it was always on step one because that would make obedience a lot easier, would it not? If the moment God said to do something, if you took one step, you would immediately see the end result. Like, that would be amazing. Y'all are looking at me like, oh, no, it's all good. I trust the Lord through the whole entire process. I'm glad that you do. What I'm saying is, for me, I wish that I immediately saw the miracle the first step that I took. Because if I could see the miracle the first step that I took, I am a destination guy. I am not a process guy. People are like, I want my dream vacation to get into an RV and drive across the country. I'm like, that is my personal hell. Why would I want to be in a car that long driving across the entire country when I could just get on an airplane like I'm doing today at 2:00 and fly into Salt Lake City for a thing I need to speak at tonight? I am glad that I can be there in 4 hours rather than be there in 4 days. Some of you are like, no, the 4, you get to see the amazing sights. I can see them from above. I like destinations. I like payoffs. I like payoffs more than process, don't you? I mean, if you're honest, most people do like payoff more than process. Somewhere along the way, God moved. And you know what's interesting? The host, the master, the wedding planner had no clue that a miracle had taken place. The guest at the wedding who got to drink the wine, 6 jars with 20 to 30 gallons each, they got to taste the wine. They didn't know that a miracle had taken place. The bride, the groom, they didn't know that a miracle had taken place. The only people that knew that a miracle had taken place was Jesus and the people who put water into those jars and then watched as wine came out. In other words, the only people who got to see that a miracle had even happened was the people that were working behind the scenes. Because they were the only one who had enough access to know that it was water that went into those jars. That's why it says in these verses that he had no idea where this water or where this wine, he had no idea where this thing had come from. Everybody got to experience the benefit of the miracle, but no one knew it was a miracle except for those that were serving it. Everyone saw the result, but only a few got to actually see the miracle. My goal for every person that shows up at this place called Freedom Church, my goal is not that you just get to see the miracles that happen week in, week out. I want you to be able to experience the miracles that happen week in, week out. And the only people who really know that a miracle has truly happened are the ones who are serving behind the scenes making it happen. There's people out there right now who are serving in the parking lot. They're out there when it's hot, when it's cold, when it's raining, when it's not raining. They're doing the best they possibly can right now with the chaos that is for worship experiences at Freedom Church while they're building a building in the middle of your parking lot. But what they get to see is they get to see people sometimes get out of their car. You ever seen this before? You see somebody get out of their car and you just look at them and you know they are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. They don't even have to use words. You can just see it in their eyes that life has beaten them down throughout the course of that particular week. Something happens, though, when they walk into a building like this and then God speaks to their heart and they walk out and that same parking lot guy that saw them walk in with the weight of the world on their shoulders now gets to see them walk out knowing that something has been lifted as a result of what it is that God has done. Everybody got to see it, but only the person working behind the scenes know that it was a miracle that had happened. You serve in Freedom Kids. You get to see a parent walk in with the third grader. And it could be that the third grade student says yes to Jesus in Freedom Kids, but at the same exact time, that third grader's daddy gets to come in to a room like this one, or their mom gets to come into a room like this one, where there are no distractions, hopefully. They get to hear a word from God. The Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, changes them, and as a result, that dad that just dropped that kid off, they got a brand new dad over the course of the previous 35 minutes while they were able to be in here, but the only reason they were able to be in here is because there were people serving back there. So the people who get to see the miracle happen are the ones who are serving behind the scenes. You might do ordinary things, but the ordinary things are what it is that God uses in order to change people's lives, because miracles rarely happen in the spotlight. They usually happen in the serving. Everybody gets to see the results, but only a few get to actually experience the miracle. And what I want for every person in here, whether, and this is honestly, this is true for like people at every single church, churches that I'll never go to in a million years, primarily because I'm the pastor of this one. So as a result, I do still want people at every church to be involved in what it is that God is doing, not just to sit back and experience the miracle, but to be able to be a part of making the miracle happen. When you walked in, you got one of these carts. I want everybody to grab it. Grab the card. You got it. You can pick it up. You can use your hand. Even if you're like, I don't want to pick up the card, just do it anyway, because it'll make me happy. And it makes me preach less irritated. So pick up this card. You got a pen. You got a card. If you're already part of the dream team here at Freedom, if you're already part of the team, what I want you to do right now, like in your own heart, just pray for those who are not yet. If you're here and you're not a part of making this thing happen week in, week out, here's what I want from you. I want your name, I want your number, and then you see all these different opportunities. These are just some of the opportunities that we have, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to mark one for the one that you think you are perfect for. Mark number two for the thing that you think that you are the second most perfect for. And then number three for the thing that you think you're the third most perfect for. Here's what I don't want you to do. I'm gonna watch the cameras to see if anybody does it, because sometimes people don't listen. I don't want you to mark every single one of these, because that is not helpful. You know, there's always somebody that's like, I can do it all. That's not, even if you can, I want you to pick the one that you can do better than anybody else, or just pick the one that you think, you know what, I think God could use me in this particular area. One, two, or three. I want you to just mark it on this piece of paper, hold on to it, and we'll tell you what it is that we want you to do in just a little while. But the reason we want you to do it is because I want you to be part of what God is doing. We're getting ready to make a move here very, very soon. Probably I will make an announcement about the actual week that we are going to be opening up the brand new building. I'll probably make an announcement either the week before Mother's Day or Mother's Day. So you're talking 2 to 3 week window. The reason that I need to wait is because I have trust issues with the county of Cobb. And as a result, I need to just double check, make sure that everything is good the way that it needs to be. And we get all of the things that we are supposed to be getting. But on those days, we'll make an announcement. And within the next 6 or 7 weeks, we will have made the transition over to the new building. Those of you that had Freedom Kids today and you got to go back there, you got to see a little bit of a sneak peek because they removed that wall. Now you can see into the building, and it is coming very, very soon. But let me tell you why that matters. Because now, when you get ready to make a move like this, we need to make room for 3 times as many people. When you have 3 times as many people, that means we need 3 times as many greeters, 3 times as many kids people. We need a bunch of people to be able to pull off what it is that God has called us to do. Before, we only had 2 entrances, this one or this one. Now you have this one, that one, that one, that one, and then also some in the back. So you need more greeters. You need more everybody. There is opportunity. Here's why I say there's opportunity, because this is not a guilt thing. This is an opportunity thing. Here's what I hear most of the time. I would love to be part of the dream team, but you guys already have it covered, and I know that I'm not really needed. Yes, you are, and we will find a spot for you no matter what it is that may be, because I believe God does miracles through you. I believe God has a plan for you. I believe that God wants to use you. You're not just here helping make our dream happen together we are in this thing, fighting, making it so that people far from God can experience life in Christ, and we all have a role to play. That's why God says we're all part of one body. Some of us are the mouth, some of us are the brain, some of us are the heart. Some of you, you're the appendix, and we don't know what you do, but we do know if you get out of line, chaos ensues, right? We know that. But the bottom line is God has a role for every single person that's here. It's part one of this message. I was gonna try to split it up a different way, but we're gonna do part two today. We're not even waiting until next week, because I want you to see something that's super important about this particular message. I'm gonna go a little bit deeper with it. Whenever Jesus turned this water into wine, whenever he did that, he wasn't just fixing a wedding problem. Whenever Jesus turned water into wine, what he was doing was something that was far more meaningful than that. Because remember, the jars, they represented, I told you this at the beginning of this message, the jars represented how people were trying to get right with God, trying to clean up the outside so that they would look better on the inside. Wash their hands of the dust and the dirt, but not only the literal dust and the dirt, but to wash their hands of all the stuff, the sin that every person has in their own individual life. And what Jesus does is he flips this whole system on its head. Remember, this was his first miracle. The first of anything is important. Those jars represent religion. Water represented their effort, them trying to get to God. You know, that's what religion is, by the way. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. Christianity is God's attempt to get to man. And what Jesus was saying whenever he stepped onto the scene and whenever he performed this very first miracle was something that was meant to change the world forever. You see, again, the water was about effort, but the wine represented grace, joy, celebration, and life. And so when Jesus did what he did by turning the water into wine, he wasn't just performing a miracle, he was actually sending a message. What he was saying to the Jewish people, and then now fast forward to all of us people, what Jesus was doing and what Jesus was saying was that I didn't come to this earth to clean up your life on the outside. I came to make all things new on the inside. And if you let me clean you up from the inside out, instead of you trying to clean yourself up from the outside in, it'll change everything about your life. In other words, you know that you've embraced religion instead of a relationship with God when everything about Christianity is a got to. I gotta go to church. I gotta read my Bible. I gotta pray. I gotta be a decent person. I gotta be nice. I gotta. But if you're a follower of Jesus, all of those got to's, something happens. It's the weirdest thing. It's hard to explain. It's easier to experience. Something happens to the got to's when you become a follower of Jesus. I don't got to go to church. I get to. I don't got to be a pastor. I get to. I don't got to read my Bible. I get to. I don't got to preach. I get to. I don't got to pray. I get to. I don't got to tithe. I get to. I don't got to do this here. I get to do this here with all of you. I don't got to. I get to. You see the difference though? Like, what Jesus was saying is, I'm about to change this system because you've been looking for just that. The Jewish people had embraced a system, thinking that the system would change their life. But what Jesus was saying, it's not a system. What you need is a Savior, and I'm here to change your life. Jesus does from the inside out what religion cannot do from the outside in. Jesus is the only one who can pull that off. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. If you're a follower of Jesus, he says, these are the things that will grow in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There's nine. Those nine things, that will start happening in your life if you are a follower of Jesus. Not all at once, but little by little. I'm not as patient as I need to be, but I'm more patient than I used to be. You can't do patience by yourself. You ever tried? You ever been like, I'm gonna be more patient? Are you? Because you said that when you were sleeping. It's easy to be patient when you're going to bed at night. It's a little bit different whenever you're driving through Atlanta on the road or dealing with somebody at school or at work or on the team or wherever the case may be. Jesus changes you from the inside out. So he wasn't just performing a miracle. He was actually trying to send a message. Because maybe some of you, I mean, all of us at times, like we feel like we've blown it. You ever felt like you've blown it before? I mean, I feel like that at least once or twice a day. I've blown it doing something. But what happens is Jesus offers forgiveness when all you've ever experienced was failure. He offers joy and hope and peace and everything else when all you had experienced was emptiness. And so what he came to offer was not a system. He came to offer himself, which was our Savior. And watch what happens as a result of being at that wedding that particular day, serving behind the scenes. It says in verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. In other words, this was the first miracle that he had done. And what he was doing was putting those people who were closest to him on notice that he really was the Son of the living God. Who noticed it? And his disciples believed in him. Why just the disciples? Because they were the only ones that saw the miracle happen. Nobody else knew that a miracle had taken place. You know what they thought? They thought, it says in these verses, it says in chapter 2, verse 10, I don't even remember if I read this to you. Let me read it to you. Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best until now. In other words, well, you know what would happen back in those days? Because weddings were expensive. They still are expensive here in this particular day. So they would bring the wine out and they would get like the good wine, like the expensive wine, the top shelf wine, the stuff from Total Wine or something like that. The expensive stuff, the kind that's in the case that you have to get somebody to help you get. Then after everybody had had about two glasses, they'd be slipping in that Walmart $3.99 barefoot wine or whatever that stuff's called. And the reason they could slip in that barefoot wine was because after you've had two or three glasses of the real stuff, you don't notice the difference that much anymore. And instead, what he says is, but you've saved the best till now. And Jesus was saying, that's exactly what I did. You've embraced a system. I've saved the best. The best is me. Come to me. That's what Jesus was trying to do. That's what Jesus was doing. So, two parts to the invitation. Number one, if you're not yet part of the dream team, let's fix that. Let's get it done. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Can't wait to see more people jump on board, get involved. You know what happens, by the way? You're like, I'll do it. I'll let God use me to change the lives of other people. The moment you start actually serving people, it's not that God uses you to change other people. God does something and he starts changing you. That's what he does. I hear the story all the time. I know it's true for me. I thought I started this church for jacked up people in Acworth, Georgia. Then I realized I was the jacked up person in Acworth, Georgia, and God used this church to help me. And we get to all go on this ride together. So bow your head, close your eyes all over the room. If you're here today, you know, we talked about being part of the dream team and we talked about all of that, and that's all great. But I bet there's some people in here that what you need more than anything is you need that relationship with God through the person of Jesus. You need to walk away from a system and you need to say yes to a Savior. That's what you need more than anything else. So right where you are, if you're here today, if if you're sitting there saying, if Jesus lived for me and died for me and was buried and risen from the dead so that all things could become new in my life, so that I could experience forgiveness and hope and joy and peace, if that's what Jesus did for me, then I want that. I want Jesus to step into my life and make all things new, to forgive me of my sin, to set my feet upon a rock and make it possible for me to experience life that can only be found through the person of Jesus. If that's your desire, right where you are, just pray this prayer with me. As I prayed out loud, it's not a magical prayer. It's just you doing what God said to do. So pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, the best way I know how, I turn from my sin, I turn to Jesus. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And so today, I'm asking you to save, change, and forgive me right here, right now. That is my prayer. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. With your head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you're here today and you just prayed that prayer with me, if you're in the room or if you're watching online, I want you to just follow these instructions. If you're inside the room, I want to know where you are if you just prayed that prayer to say yes to Jesus. And so in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, you're just going to raise your hand just for a second, just long enough for one of our ushers to come, place a card in your hand. As soon as you get that card, just pull your hand right back down. It's as simple as that. If you're watching online, just follow the instructions that you see right there on the screen. But this is the moment, like this is the time where you can know for certain that Jesus is the Lord of your life and he has made all things new. So let's be able to celebrate that today. If you're here and you just prayed that prayer with me, do me a favor and throw that hand up high when I say three. One, two, three. Come on, all over the room. We see you in the back, here in the front, back there in the back as well. Keep your hand up until you get those cards. Once you get that card, just pull your hand right back down. It's as simple as that. Back over here in the back as well. Once you get that card, you can pull your hand down. Do me a favor, everybody here, stand to your feet, if you would. Dear Lord, I love you, I'm grateful for you, and I do pray for every single person that's here today. Thank you for those that said yes to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for those that are going to be part of the dream team. God, I thank you for giving us an opportunity to be a part. We don't got to, we get to, because you are God, you are good, you love us, and for that, we are grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.